The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Ticker Stock. It's Friday at last, the 27th of October, 2023. We made it to the end of the week just about. Some companies are teetering on the edge. Nearly didn't make it to the end of the week. I don't understand. I don't know if you've seen this, John. There are certain companies rising because they're going into administration or teetering on the edge. We'll look at those in a bit, by the way. It's very odd. I don't understand that. By all means, like this webinar, this live show, if you like it, and we'll do more of it. And don't forget to comment. And by the way, I'm looking at today. I'm trying to be as bullish as I can in a bear market, because the hour is darkest before dawn, as they say. And by the way, this is something to look forward to. John off air said yesterday to me, he said, if we have a Santa rally, he'll wear a Santa suit or something.
I didn't say suit. I said hat.
Oh, Santa hat. That's the only concession. That's as far as he'll go. So if you want to see John in the Santa hat, let's get the bull market going.
Buy some shares.
There's good stats for this, though. I've been looking through, and this morning I went through, I've looked at it before, and I said, okay, let's look at the stats for AIM. This is now, AIM, of course, is down 48%, 780 days from the high. But over the last 10 years, the AIM all shares rallied 70% of the time in Q4, 70% of the time in November, and 80% of the time in December. You can't argue those stats. If you do, you're mad. So, and you know, things do turn when you least expect. Like I said, the darkest hour is before dawn. When there's not going to be, you know, a catalyst or seeming catalyst, something happens, you know. And this year, I think, it's just Santa and John putting on a Santa hat. That in itself will get the markets going, ladies and gentlemen. So what do you reckon? This year, comment, please, for the, and let me know. Do you think we'll see a Santa rally? Remember, it normally happens when it's most gloomy. Do you think? Yes or no? I'm trying to sway you, of course. I am. But what do you reckon, Johnny?
God knows. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not going to make... I know. No, don't make predictions.
Okay. I just, you know what? I don't care about my stocks. I just want to see you in a Santa hat. Right. How many days will you...
Well, anyway.
When does it start? It'd be nice if you want the entire December. It'd be brilliant. Okay. Comments, by the way. There's a couple of comments here. So I had one yesterday from Macman. Said, peak fear we were talking about yesterday. Not yet. Middle East has yet to play out. And how tempted will China be to move on Taiwan? Can the US afford three wars? The US can't afford one war. You know, it can't afford the debt it's got now.
No one can.
Exactly. In fact, they're all insolvent. If there are companies, governments, they'd be bust by now. But they can print their own money. They've got their own money printing machines, of course. AI investor, happy Friday, everyone. Let's say another sea of red in my portfolio. I remain ever confident, though. So I'm riding out the choppy waters. Better days are on the horizon. Yes, they've got to be.
They will be. They have to be. I mean, you know, these sort of conditions don't go on forever.
Yeah.
You've got to grin and bear it, I suppose.
Yeah. It's so loft, you know. Like I said, valuations are good in the UK markets. Supermon, good afternoon, folks. UK market is historically cheap, comparatively cheap to other markets. And quite frankly, at current levels, some wonderful companies are vulnerable to overseas predators.
In fact, we'll do that
Monday, actually. Let's have a look. And this is your chance to ramp your stocks if you want. What's the next takeover target? We've seen on the market, we've seen many. In fact, we covered last week, six of them.
Yeah, we've got another one today, Fire Angel.
Fire Angel, yeah. Let's go to the front page of Vox.
We haven't covered it, but yeah, that is today's takeover.
198% Fire Angel. In fact, look at this, John. Look at this. The AIM all share. I don't know why my stocks are down. Doesn't make any sense to us. But the AIM all share is up. What is going on there?
We're getting too excited. Won't last.
Yeah, no. It's up a half of... hang on a second. Just over half of 1%. Previously, it's even been 0.07%, and then it's gone down in the afternoon. But it's literally on par with the FTSE 250. Big rises here. Prudential, Fresnillo. I don't know how you say that, but BP.
The next report this week. Gold price is at record high, isn't it? So.
Oh, yeah.
Prisonilla is obviously a big silver miner. Yeah, nasty.
Net
interest margin contracting.
Yeah, and there's a Farage thing that's going on.
Well, I mean, that's Lloyd's down. Really.
Yeah.
wouldn't affect the share price.
All the banks down because of that, not us there. But
They're basically their customers. So you're seeing customers moving their deposits into higher interest accounts and often term accounts. So they're having to pay more interest basically to keep customers on board. And that's eating their margin. Banks are not in a good place.
No. I'm with you on that. I'm not a, I did a bank, back in the great financial crash, Lloyd's, but that's about it. But look at that little green there. Do you want to look at a little green there? It's a little green.
How exciting.
That means the last 26 sessions or something, I think about now three up days, which is good. Look at that. We scrolled back. We are 48% down there. So let's not get too excited. But is this a start? Next week is November. We've got two more days, I think, next week of October. Then November starts, like, statistically, very strong month, and December, even stronger. And then John puts his hat on. John has got his hat on. Hip, 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 hooray. let's look at the most followed companies. What are you doing, people? Ethernity networks. They're on the verge of going through. Why are people following that? Do you understand that? It's the same with, what is it? One of the risers, Starvest, right?
Starvest is it's an investment company, invests in miners.
Yeah, but it's going through.
Yeah, so it's a voluntary liquidation. They're closing it down. But what it means is as an investment company, its view is that its shares are trading at two higher discounts to the value of the assets that it holds.
Okay.
And so it's basically going to wind itself up and redistribute the assets. So, people are buying the shares, so they get, the assets that are within it at a price that is essentially more than the price they pay for the shares.
Gotcha.
That is why that is happening.
You're seeing takeouts happening. You're seeing companies delisting.
Mm-hmm.
This to me is symbolic, and we are it's a sign we're at the bottom or close to the bottom of the market. And like I said, we are a few days away from traditionally, statistically, very strong months. Let's look at some of the things. Uplands is one of those followers as well. Is that come all the way back yet? I know there's a guy, I think, covering his short from that recently. Let's look at this on the chart here.
Just going to go back to that Starvest thing for a second. I've just looked at its latest net asset value report as of the 30th September 2023. Its net asset value is 9.4 pence. The share price today is 7.
Yeah.
So you can see the extent of the discount that the shares are trading at. It holds.
But how accurate are those valuations, though?
They're listed companies. That's the point.
They are listed companies. Okay.
Yeah. One of them is Greatland Gold.
Oh, okay. Well, Greatland Gold is
okay. Mm, mm. So there is a play there, and that's what people are doing.
Okay. Greatland Gold is that. We've covered that many times. Upland's down there. In fact, what was the news? I think it was someone closing their short on Upland. I think it was. Form 3A, was it Lee James Allen? There we are. Upland, was he doing something interesting? Oh, no.
Buying a very large.
He's basically got 3%, yeah.
Junkie position.
Okay, all right. So there we are. Junkie position there on that. Let's talk about followed it. QBT, of course. Where is crypto? Is crypto rolled over recently? Let's have a look at because
I imagine it's still fairly following the gold price.
I think that's a high then. I think that shoot up is going to come down, and maybe it's consolidated. I think it'll come back. I don't know why. I look at charts a lot. I think it's not sustainable. Cab payments again, catching falling knives, ladies and gentlemen, is still dropping for the fourth day there. I do think, when you get companies done, 80% now, and it's not insolvent, and it seems like it's profitable, isn't it? No, in fact, we just look at the cash flow statement, and it was burning, sort of using a lot of cash. But never mind, that's a heck of a chart there. This is a big one here, Codal, finally. Codal Hanan funding package completion. So they've, lithium and gold assets in West Africa, and that is... There's this company now, they're paying over. So the party is looking to finalise all remaining compliance items as soon as possible with expected transfer of money. That's 117 million in total, of which 3.5 has been received. the transaction now expected first half of November. See, November. Good things happening in November, guys. Codal, let's look at the chart on that. COD. Good ticker. Good COD. There we are. Oh, look at that. People say charts are, you know, made up sort of hocus pocus. Look at the support level there. Where's it rallied from? That support level right there. Bounced 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And previous resistance was there. It broke out. Resistance 1, 2, 3, 4 times. That there. You can't deny that, John. Can't deny that, can you? Hey? Hey?
I don't know what I'm looking at.
So I'm saying, look at this resistance here. Previous resistance here, okay, at this level, at 0.4. And it broke out, went up higher. And look at this now. It's bounced off it 1, 2, 3, 4. And now it's rising by 31% on that deal with, hey, Nan, a boyfriend's back. So anyway, that's Codal. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a trader.
No. But that's not, I mean, it's an investment, really, for lithium. Lithium is a good place to be, isn't it? If anything Avacta releases, it's red. This was the block listing 6 monthly return, which basically, I don't know if you want to explain that, John, basically it's telling people how many shares they haven't listed or they have listed in the last 6 months, how many they're going to list, how many's outstanding. The most boring RNS in the world, and yet it's the most red.
I don't think I've ever read one.
No, exactly. And you know, yeah, well, someone did ask me what they meant a while, but I didn't really know what they meant until as I look into Schedule 6 of the AIM rules, pretty much. But it's essentially about it. But it's still in that range of Avacta, right there. So it's struggling to get out of that. But there we are. Have you seen anything this morning, John? Was it going to look at the coverage?
It's a nice company. There's a nice update this morning, actually. So I picked up Van Elle. You're going to find this incredibly dull. It basically drills holes in the ground for construction projects.
All right, so say, who pays it to do that?
Who pays it to do that? It does it on behalf of any kind of large-scale developer, whether that's residential or commercial. It's working on, part of what is, the news today is quite interesting, but it's potentially infrastructure projects. It's quite specialist. Ground engineering, they call it. And this is the UK's biggest ground engineer.
Is it?
Okay. So I mean, obviously, it's followed the housing market down. It's been a bit of a tough time, but you know, it's really, I mean, it's a solid company, a solid company. It's bought a drilling division from Galliford Try, which you've spoken about before.
Oh, yeah.
Galliford Try is basically a construction contractor. And so as well as buying this drilling division, which gives Van Elle access to the Southeast market, lovely cross-selling opportunities, it's also signed a five-year framework deal with Galliford Try to provide its services. And that takes it into water infrastructure, which is going to attract lots of investment in the years ahead. Obviously, had lots of headline news about the lack of investment in our water infrastructure. That's being addressed, and Van Elle's got a nice deal in that space. Yeah, I like this company.
Yeah. Well, Van Elle, it sounds like you're swearing tonight. Wow. But that's downtrend there. And you see that. Honestly, you can connect the peaks on a downtrend, right?
Yeah.
And then look at where it breaks. And it breaks up, and also 200-day moving average there breaks up. Now it's in a range there. So it's not bad. We can say we're at the bottom here, but it needs to break up. But of course, wider sentiment across the entire market. I mean, if you look at all the markets, they're all down, apart from the S&P, and that's because of the Magnificent Seven.
This one is down. This one's really, remember you saw a big bounce in lots of shares after COVID.
Yeah.
And there were certain sectors that just didn't get that. You know, this is one of the stuff that's out in the physical world. So it's left the shares looking rather cheap. If people were talking about potential takeover targets, what can you get these for? 11 times next year's earnings, this current year's earnings. So
they're only 42 mil, okay.
Yeah, cheap as chips.
Cheap
as chips, cash in the bank, plenty of firepower to pick up more of these nice little bolt-on deals. Good little company.
Altitude product, strong growth with fixed revenue and surge. Yeah. So these are what they do. Provider technology, SaaS stuff, yeah?
Yeah, it's a back-end for promotional products. Promotional products. And there's it's funny, there's a little subset of these on the market. I wrote about it a while back, promotional swag, because there's one company in particular, 4imprint, that has made Huge amounts of money from this, and you know, its share price is absolutely fantastic.
We looked at that before, and look at that.
Absolutely, back.
Do you know what? It's such a good trend. I have to put on a weekly chart because I can't see the entire thing. Look at that.
I mean,
if you put that on a weekly chart, in fact, it's only just come back from 200-day moving average weekly chart from November 2010, literally till 2020. It didn't even touch that 200-day moving average.
Yeah,
it went from £2. Up to 34 quid. Then it dabbled around with it, messed around with it, dust for cash, crash, COVID, bounced back up, and they went from 31 up to 51 quid. That's look at that.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, essentially, these companies, there's another one called Pebble that's in the same sort of space. And yeah, really, it's all about putting, you know, logos on stress balls. Yeah. You know,
in this market, you can sell a lot of stress balls.
I mean, it's extraordinary. But they have, I mean, geez, 4imprint. That's how I wrote about this back in July. But 4imprint's done 10,000% total return over when was that? Since listing in 2003, which is fantastic. You've got a couple of smaller competitors, smaller peers, Altitude and Pebble, which are in the same market. They look, you know, just really nice little companies. You know, obviously some sort of software platform stuff behind the back end. Altitude's doing this, they call it alternative markets, which takes into things like university merchandising. You know, you're there with Harvard sweatshirts, whatever. I like this. I like this market. You know, we've seen other areas of marketing, the marketing industry really struggling, you know, S4 Capital, WPP. I think there are a few others we've spoken about already. But this bit, logos on the stress balls, doing amazing.
Didn't you saw the Google's results for Q3? Their advertising revenue is up like 10%. So everyone's talking about digital advertising, taking a bit of a hammer in, you know, but theirs were up. But look, it's nice to see that. Very, very see that. A CEO, Nicole, and Deborah Nicole, CEO, COO. In between them, sandwich in between is Graham. Hey. But you very rarely see, two top members of the board as females, which is quite nice, I think. And to be honest, I think women are not better than men. Men take a few more risks and a bit more, a bit sexist maybe the wrong way, but, I think there's, I don't know.
I think that's a sweeping generalisation. If you remember rightly, the chief executive of NatWest was forced to leave in a hurry after ill-judged comments about Nigel Farage, which has got them in all sorts of trouble. So
yeah, but what?
No sweeping statements about gender, I would say.
I love to make them, but it's okay. Who doesn't like the gossip? She told someone about Nigel Farage, didn't she?
It's complete breach of client confidentiality.
It's a bit of gossip. You realise sometimes when you do a bit of gossip, you don't realise what position you when you are the CEO of NatWest, you can't deal in a bit of gossip.
Yeah, never a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So what else have we got? Architect, this is big sort of big agreement. Tier one American bank shares are up quite nicely. It does sort of data-y type stuff,
Architect. What's the market cap here? Let's have a look. They are 11 million. What are they? Any figures in this?
No, not really. Okay. Not really. But I guess the excitement is the fact that it's a tier one US bank.
That's like 11 million market cap. They did, turnover. I've looked at this before. I did think, fair enough, they are profitable. Small,
this could,
scale you worry about here, but they are profitable.
Any company, they're not just profitable. They were profitable in 2022.
Hang on, and were profitable again the year after. Look at this.
They've brought cash into the business. You know, these are the kind of things you want to see. And actually, you know, data businesses tend to be, very, very scalable. A bit of excitement about this one today.
So enterprise value there, literally, is 5 million.
I think we're seeing a lot of companies that are trading on
that is
somewhat ludicrous enterprise values.
So that's what I'm saying, look at the market cap first and foremost for the enterprise value, because that gives a more detailed telling and evaluation. It takes into account cash and debt. So, net cash of 6 million. So that's 5 million.
Two times. No, what is it? One time sales. Is that half year?
Okay, let's a quick comment. Simon, probably a bear market rally, in my view. Any rally will do, Simon. Simon, where are you in cash, Simon? Because you are, rightly so, you're quite bearish, it seems to me, over the last comments. But Dane, there's a lot that's been priced in, but we need a catalyst to kickstart a rally, and I think that will be evidence of peak rates.
Agree.
I think it'll be John wearing a Santa hat. That's what I think.
No, that will come after the rally begins.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry. Maybe put it on before then, put it on before. But I think Santa himself, big fat man in a red suit, what bigger catalyst you need than that?
But I mean, like, you know, just going back to what both the companies we just mentioned, you know, none of these companies are very expensive. And, you know, especially as you say, when you strip out the cash, one of the reasons why I can't, as I say, picked up a few shares in Angling Direct. But a catalyst is required. You know, the cheapness alone is not enough to move the market.
Okay. Another deal here with a big, in the resource space, quite popular, is ARC Minerals agreement with Anglo American, which is good. And this has been going for a while, but turning point for ARC and our shareholders. And of course, that's been going. Well, I wonder what the chart is like in there. In Zambia. So copper in Zambia, copper there. But and you've got to understand, when you have a big company coming in, that's validation of the project, pretty much. Mm. These 100%. Companies don't take a stake in these smaller companies unless they've got. And, you know, Anglo American, to move the needle, it's got to be a big resource for them because they've got a lot going on. So they're not going to be interested in something that's not big. It's almost like when you look at a resource and resource companies will have a major rally. When we come out of this bear market, these small companies, I'm not involved in any, but I did a 10 bag on Asia Met years ago, and I was coming out of a downturn upwards. And they do, once it turns, resource companies really can rally, but make sure they've got cash and then hopefully good resource, but also a major, you know, signed in, farmed in there, because that really moves you. Because they've done their due diligence for you largely. That's, you know, because they've got teams of people onto that. But that's, it's rally up and down, but it's in a bit of a range there, ARC Minerals. But, that's ARCM. Oh, look at this. Boohoo, it's a replacement. This is Mike Fraser, of course. He's up to 16% in Boohoo. What's he up in ASOS? Is he more than that in ASOS?
Don't know.
Let's look. Mike Fraser. We've got Tim Apple. I thought of another one.
Actually. Tim Weatherspoon.
Yeah, Tim Weatherspoon. There's Jeff Amazon. And Elon Tesla. If you've got any others, let us know in the comments, please. Let's have a look at ASOS. He's up to 19%. Oh, he come down. This is Fraser. No.
He's got two different share classes there. But he has come down there across the share classes.
Okay. That's up and down. Yeah. So that's Boohoo ASOS.
I'm just trying to think. Codel, the sort of rail tech group.
Oh, Codel.
Had another couple of contracts. Had a good week. Good week on the sales front, old Cordell.
Yeah, so it's in new contracts in Mexico and Australia.
It's all for sort of track management, track safety, and it's basically building, as I said the other day, a sort of digital twin, scans the track, and it's building your sort of virtual railway that you can then use to manage. Rallying?
It's not rallying. No, what's the market cap here?
$7.86
What are the cash they got? Any cash? Any cash here? They say any cash here. Not a lot. I don't know what I say.
They did a placing back in March.
Result of oversized placing, yes. In 30th of March, they've raised. How much did they raise?
What do you say? 1.7 million gross.
Almost 7 million. Okay. Well, I'll have to look at the cash bin there.
Yeah.
But, I do look at the space they're in. SafeStyle, further update on process. They're one of the fallers there.
They're off.
In fact, GB Petroleum, I looked at this and they are, and I looked at this annual financial report. I thought, well, how bad is that? And they scroll down and they do say that at the company's request, the Nipponian authorities extended a deadline for their global provider work program and the license. And they say the company requires significant additional funding in order to meet its license obligations. And you're thinking, okay, that's why it's down 40%. And you are now literally sub 1 million. That's in a very tricky space when you go raise money and you've dropped by that far and you're that size. You know, so in fact, let's look at the GBP, is it?
I just came back to SafeStyle. That's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, suspended. It's very unlikely to be coming back.
Yeah, no. Oh, it's gone. That's what GBP is, like I said. Hang on. So we did say at the start here, we made it to the end of the week. Like a safe style nearly has. It hasn't made it, is it?
No, it's well, we've sounded like in the reasonable belief of the directors of SafeStyle that any proposed sale, even if it was completed, would result in any return to shareholders. So that looks like the end. And unfortunately, it's suspended. So if you're not out, it looks like unlikely you can get out.
Yeah. I do think maybe they should, you know, have the word safe in their title as far as investors are concerned.
Mm.
Definitely wasn't a safe investment. The thing is, I know it's awful for investors who are in that, but sometimes, you know, you need this. This is a natural cleansing cycle. You know, so we do go through those periods where the strong companies will win out. And you know, and funding in the future will go to companies that come in. Anything else here on the
other side? I always struggle.
Is it British Airways?
I haven't really looked at numbers. I'm just going back to say, so I always struggle with this because this company, and, you know, there is a lesson to be taken from this about the kind of companies that you should perhaps be targeting. This is a double glazing company. You know, you PVC windows and doors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies out there making you PVC windows and doors, you know. So, yeah. So, you know, you then wonder what's the economic moat? What makes this company different to any other company?
Exactly, yeah.
How busy is this market? Is it price competitive? The answer is probably yes. And is it cyclical? And again, the answer is yes. So, you know, yeah. I mean, it was not one that I could ever get my head around as being a unique investment that was particularly attractive.
Yeah, I didn't. So when I do a top line look at a company, I mean, I look at the three S's, you know, and I look at, first of all, size. I like to have support small companies because that's just saying that they can be big winners. And I look for scale, I look for special. And, you know, and do they have something special? And, you know, that's the kind of thing you need to look at. And that gives them an economic moat. And also, that kind of specialness will also usually help the scale, but you've got to look at the scale of the markets as well. You're thinking, exactly. Unless they're PVC windows, you know, killed COVID or something, there's something special about them. Why do they stand out? It's not going to happen. Riffisos off says Simon Thompson is tipping Logistics Development Group, LDG, again, undervalued, being buying back stock every working day, but stock prices are downtrend. Is the stock a buy today? I think, is it LDG? Is that what I think?
No, it's
LDG. Let's have a look. Let's have the chart here. Yeah, again, you know, look at that. That's in a horrible range. And like I said, sometimes you see stocks in a range. I don't trade a range because if they could break down to the lower bottom of the range, you're in trouble. And that's sort of done that there. You can see even the lowest part of the range is broken down and it's sort of come back into it. You can go for value, but, you know, like I said, that can trade. I mean, if you'd messed around with that and bought them, say, here or here, you've been sitting there now 2 years, down. Where do you take your profit there? You know, so I'm that to me is not a range. You may see the value is great on that, but
I don't know much about this company. No. But I'm looking at very high level numbers, and you've got a company here that's turning over. Where's this turnover disappeared to?
Transaction shares, so they're buying back.
Big turnover.
Big turnover,
small margin.
And debt-wise, have they got debt? That's a look there. Yeah, that's a trouble. See, again, that's a symptom of a company that's essentially don't have much going about it. Nothing special because
I'm confused about this company. I'm gonna have to come back to this. It looks like an investment company.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, what loss? They're making a loss there. And they had cash of 52. What? 2 million.
It's an investment company.
Okay.
I need to come back and look at this one. Something's.
I don't know, sir. Yeah. Okay.
You might have changed what it does. I need to go back and look at it.
Okay. All right.
We'll do that for next week.
By the way, this is the one where, in fact, it's on you. Paddy says, any thoughts on Intuitive Investment Group by a technology investor off piste in Chinese lottery player? Yeah, I saw this. Same chairman as Destiny Pharmacy. He's come back in the market. Another home run from Nigel Rudd. I was looking at this. When he signed up to Destiny, he's been a shareholder of Destiny Pharma for a long time. But when I looked him up, and I thought, he is in Intuitive Investments as well. And this is the second biggest rise of the day, up 68%. He's a sharp operator, this guy. He did say, quite cocky of him, to say, I've never become a chairman of a company and left it and where the share price has been lower than where I started. It's always been higher. So, he just put his stake in the ground there. It sets a stall out. But they invest in this company, which is called, what is it? Hui 10. It's a technology company with interest in two operating businesses involved in transforming the lottery in China. It holds a 33% share in Beijing Huxi Dua Information Technology. It's a questionable jurisdiction, but he obviously likes it. Lucky World. The Chinese do like the word lucky, don't they? Lucky World. Yeah, in the Lucky World Lottery. And value. Anyway, it's worth it. It's very small.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It doesn't feel like one I would instinctively be.
He's a sharp businessman, so I like the fact that he joined Destiny Pharma and he's been an investment there since the start. But I did look at this company and thought,
shares are up 84%. I'm nervous of China businesses with Chinese exposure at the moment.
Yeah. Well, look at that though. It's come down. Look at that chart there. It struck never really closed above the 200-day moving average, and then all of a sudden it has in July. That was last week. Went to the board, is it? And it shot up there. So he can work his magic. I'm glad he's involved with Dusty Farm because he's got a lot of contacts. He's a very successful guy. But that company there particularly is not for me. If you're in it, it's very illiquid. You know. One of the rises is Challenger Energy Group. Of course, they've done a bridging loan. If you look at that company, it's very interesting. It's got chatted to a CEO quite a few times. Where they are, the licenses they hold, they bought licenses where they are now, literally, when the oil price hit an all-time low and no one wanted to buy oil licenses, they bought two. Suriname and offshore the waters, Uruguay. And if you look at them, now oil price has gone up. All the licenses have been picked up. They're the only non-super major not in that area. And they're surrounded by super majors, all the big guys, you know. So it's worth looking at. I mean, it's a best, very risky area, high impact oil and gas. But you could say, if you go to their website, they'll show you, but you could say one of their licenses has got to be bought out or farmed into by a super major because it's a very prospective area. And so it's a very interesting play. I'm not into oil and gas, but I mean, if you look at the map, it's worth going to their website and look at the map of who's around them, all the licenses around them, as super majors apart from them. Mm. So it's very interesting. Hydrogen Utopia? What's the fourth estate? Held. That's going down. Anything else I was going to talk about? Is there anything else, Johnny?
No, it's not particularly noteworthy. Hang on, there's my list.
Challenger. Oh, yeah. Let's have a quick look at the shares of IAG. Because let's see if they're... They did say, by the way, that they're
down a little bit.
Yeah, look at that. It's not a nice chart. It's like a plane trying to get off the ground, isn't it?
The numbers seem to be okay, though. The numbers did seem to be okay.
Yeah, they did say forward-looking. I mean, they're literally a little bit worried about... if you look at the outlook, they did say... we expect to generate free cash flow this year for our net debt. But they did say, whilst we... maintain good forward because we continue to be mindful of wide macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainties that might affect the remainder of this year. So with that, I don't know something about lots of flights going, but do people get more sort of worried about flying when you have big problems? I suppose you do, people get generally more nervous. Does it affect a lot of flights? I don't know. When there's wars going on that are quite visible, I don't know, even though it's not going to affect the operations of that. I think someone said there's only one or two flights a day comes from Israel, from BA or something like that. So it's not a huge amount. They do like a couple of hundred a day, so around the world. So it's not going to fuck them.
I'm not sure. I don't think so, especially. Yeah, it did after 9/11. There was a hiatus of air travel at that point.
Bought into stocks after that, didn't they? The list of companies of options to buy for long-term grows as things are cheaper, tricky to know what to eliminate. Do you know what? That's the key, Phil, okay? There's 2,000 stocks out there. It's honing in and getting rid of companies is the good thing. You may get rid of one or two good ones, but essentially, if you've got some quality filters there, you know what you're looking for, then you've got to be very fussy. That's it. By definition, there aren't 2,000 outstanding companies on the market.
Well, stock's green.
Exactly. So you've got to, there's only a handful, and you've got to find them. You know, it's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah, but that's where stock screening, approach is coming very, very useful. So get yourself a share pad or a Stockopedia or whatever you happen to use, and apply some metrics. You know, you work out what's closest to your favorite approach and what sort of companies you're looking for. Put the metrics in, see what it spits out, and
yeah.
It gives you a very great starting point for finding some companies, and then you can start doing the deep dives into it.
Exactly, because there's opportunity to trade every day, but you're more likely to be down, you know, after a month of day trading than you will be up. So what you've got to do is be very fussy. The more fussy you are, honestly, the better. Just having discipline, sitting back and just going for the ones you know. But just, you know, a high hit rate, that's what you want. Is being like, when you go for something you know is going to be high probability of doing well.
I'm finding it very useful, you know, just going through these lists of companies every day, because
you know,
things are popping out. And this happened when we were doing the stock screening podcast as well, that you'd never really thought about or even necessarily even heard of before. I'm finding this very useful.
Is that West one word? Oh, one took the wrong one word. Isn't it? Nat West NWG, isn't it? Nat West, right. Why can't I get it on my screen? It's got so many different things. Oh, there we are. Nat West Group. Okay, let's look at the chart here. Because Michael said he's just jumped into these and bought some, and they are literally, what are they? They are 11% down, but they were lower on that. I don't know. Like I say on the chart, I don't know about banks too much. I don't know what's, you know, how to read the balance sheet pretty much on those. But it said just purchased a lot of NatWest, 2-year low and great dividend. Appreciate it might be a falling knife, but dividends, you know, can do help. Yeah.
What is the yield? What's the forecast yield on that? Have you looked at it? Forecast yield is, there's the yield. So maybe the trading yield, but.
GB says minus points for John for negativity. Well, you wait till he gets that Santa hat on.
Negativity. I've just talked through half a dozen companies that I said I like.
But I think GB, you may have mentioned one negative that he may have liked.
That's what makes the market.
Are there any investing books you recommend? Yes, in fact. I think, you know, one of the classics is one on Wall Street. The older ones I find a bit dry. And also, Lee Freeman Shaw, by the way. I can't think of what it's called. Lee Freeman Shaw, real good. One of the most recent ones, I had him on the podcast. Sure, it's called
Ways to Beat the Market by Algie Hall.
Yeah, yes. The Art of Execution. It's called Lee Freeman Shaw. Very good book, worth reading. What was that? I got some on my website there. I can't think what they were, but there's quite a few I liked. Let's go through.
What's his name? My old chum, Phil Oakley, How to Pick Quality Shares. That's a good book.
Yeah.
It's a very good book.
So if you look at this, I mean, generally, why I'm spending attention to charts, right, is that any company that rallies and does well, it has to go through the 200-day moving average. It has to go it. No other company's ever done that. So as you see here, it's never been this low below the 200-day moving average for a long time. Maybe that's contrarily quite bullish because it may bounce. You know, but like I said, last time it was this level down from the gap there between the 200 moving average and that. So, you know, even when this 2020, you know, dash for cash crash, and you could have traded the bounce this year, of course, but who knows where that's going. But then all of a sudden, you can see, and all these moving averages are a smoothing of the prop, but you can see this high there. And if you just waited to break that high, you could have traded that up and said, no, wait for it to break again, come back down, broke 200 moving average, break it up. And then you'd have been knowing it's going in an uptrend. So that's all I'm worried about, is that this, it may bounce, Michael, but could just, you know, just stick around here for a long time and just go down a little bit up there. And if you're happy, just, you know, collect the dividend, fine. But as a trend, sometimes it takes a long time. Now, look at that there. If you go back when we had the last big fall, right, and it literally traded in a range from, March 2020 to November. So you can be, as long as you want to hold it for that long, it's fine. It's not that long, actually, but I mean, pick a dividend, but it could go lower, it could go higher. But
below the moving average now. Well below the moving average.
There was something else. Oh, so a couple more thing. Thanks, Riff. Adam, my favorite book is The Great Investor by Glenn Arnold. A bit of date, maybe richer, wiser, happier. How does the world's greatest investor win the market in life? Yeah, that's good. Oh, I did like William O'Neill. Is very good. He's very into data. One of the first ones I read. And also, Wizards of the Market really got me into the thing when I first started. Wizards of the Market, you know, one of the best people around, the traders and investors, all different styles, but very successful, all of them. Bioventix results on Monday morning. Hopefully lots to talk about by the end of Monday's show. That's it, Mono. Simon, IPX have been a good share for me, 10 times on average, but I've sold down my position It's a terrible downtrend, so await the turn. IPX.
Impact Asset Management.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like Impact Asset Management. I've spoken about it a couple of times recently. You know, I think all of these specialist managers are really out of favour. You know, you've got a few of them. You've got Pony Capital, Impact, Lion Trust. There may even be some others that I forget.
You've got
some of world guys, Rathbone, for example. This sector is very out of favour.
IPX in particular is
got a double whammy of market headwinds and ESG headwinds. People have gone off ESG as an investment concept of late.
What I've just done there is just put an alert on the 50-day moving average. So when the price crosses that, I get an alert. It doesn't mean I buy. I just look at the previous, because if you look at it, it hasn't really done that. I mean, it's touched it once or twice there. But again, it's a steep downtrend in that. You want it to slope off and you want a nice break the 50-day moving average and then break previous highs. And then you may see different downtrends. So you can do that with lots of companies. You can look at the fundamentals and think, okay, see the downtrend. I'll just sit and wait. It'll alert me. I'll get an alert on my app and whatever. And I'm talking about apps. Download the Vox Markets app if you want RS alerts. Anything else? Just finish off on the comments here for the weekend. EN27 is a good place to park cash for a 3 month, 4.56 tax return. Is that 3 months, 4.5%? Yeah, that's a good point. Because at the moment, if you look at bonds or anything like that, you know, you go for a year, something like that, you know, whatever. Or savings accounts, you go away for a year. So I do think, like, you know, 3 to 6 months, the market's going to turn. Try Mark Mavini's book.
Do you know what?
Excellent trader.
That's a good point that I hadn't really thought of. It comes out of the NatWest statement as well, that more customers are putting money into their term accounts. So there has been this idea that there's still a lot of excess savings knocking around. Particularly in the mortgage-free bit of society. But if they're all sticking their money in, locking it up in 6 months, 12 months, lock-in savings accounts, and that money ain't going to get spent. That's very recessionary, potentially. That's another sign of recession.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But if you can get... like,
sorry for the negativity.
If you get the 4.5% a very safe account, why would you tinker around with the stock market, you know?
But that's exactly what a lot of people have concluded. So that's why you need that, you know. And then despite the cheapness, I think you really, as the viewer said, a catalyst.
Yeah.
Catalyst.
Alan did ask, saying, good energy is down today quite a bit. Why? It's just a bearish market. It's a bit of a rise. You get some people buying up here, selling off. It's not a lot of volume. I genuinely think this can be taken out. You see, it got the best, voted the best, which... renewable energy supplier above Ecotricity and above Octopus. And Ecotricity is its biggest shareholder, and Octopus is a big company. I just think this will get taken out. I think they got plenty of cash there. They get profitable. Top line is good, and they're going in the right direction. This is the kind of thing now. I'll wait until it settles down a bit, but I'm happy to buy more of this. I really am. So I think the downside is largely protected by its cash and its assets. It's like, it is that net asset value. It's got about 17 million in cash. And yes, they're growing in the right area. These kind of rises there, you need to pull back because it's never sustainable. People jump in, chase the rise, starts going down, they panic, pee their pants, sell the shares. And then they jump back in and it goes back up. And they realize they're losing money because they're selling lower than they're buying higher than they're selling. That's not the way to do it. You do research, you know, and buy when it starts an uptrend and hold, you know. There we are. I'm looking forward to next week, November anyway, when, of course, the bull market will rally. Yeah, it will start.
Wednesday. It's not November till Wednesday.
Yeah, November. And if it starts, big rally. By the end of the week, I'm sure John will have the Santa hat on. That's it. Simon, you don't pay tax on capital gains on low coupon gilts. Nice, Simon. You give us a lot of tips here. It's good. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Don't put in gilts, put in the market. So, when it comes to it, life, you know, what's it all about, eh? It's going to be a little bit exciting. I'm just going to, who said it today? Super Mono. Where's the fun in bonds? Well, it has been quite fun of late, but just sitting there on 5%. I always do the markets for searching companies. Anyway, thank you very much for that. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done it, please download the Vox Markets app. It's free, it's priceless, and share, subscribe to this, and we'll do some more of it next week. If we don't get any more likes, we won't. Okay.
Wear the hat.
Yeah. Hey, listen, If we get, how about this, John?
No. If we get a rally, I'll wear the hat. I've said what I said. No, that's it. The end.
All right. Okay. All right. If we get 100 subscribers, John will wear a full Santa suit in the next week. A new 100 subscribers.
That doesn't seem enough.
I guarantee if we get 100 subscribers next week, I'll get a Santa suit on for a day. Okay. That's it. Thank you very much. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And we'll speak to you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.